context. Then there is cultural context, which refers to an even broader set of circumstances and beliefs. Culture, what is culture? That what is passed from generation to generation. When you talk of organizational culture, some aspects in terms of beliefs and situations continuously which move ahead in the direction which was before. That means something which is probably followed. The time of communication, start of the work day just before lunch, at the end of the working day affects the communication. That is why it is said, a very important meeting, it is better to conduct it in the morning. Of course, then a lot depends on the availability of the people and a lot depends on what other commitments are there for the day. But a meeting before lunch or prior lunch is considered more effective. The length of time required for the communication event influences the quality of communication. Longer the communication, greater the chances for boredom, misinterpretations, failure to achieve planned results. Because a longer meeting can be far too time consuming. Chances are higher, not necessary, but chances are higher that the meeting will not have an outcome. So it is very important that when we talk of a meeting, it should be for a particular purpose or agenda, which it will be. But it also means that the people who are involved in the meeting, each one has something to put forward so that the meeting can come up with an effective outcome. Too short a communication can result in inadequacy and a feeling among one of them of being ignored. If it is a very short meeting, everyone may not get a chance to communicate what they wish to communicate. So, when we talk of a meeting, it should be in a manner whereby at least every individual gets to express his or her views. The sender or the encoder is a person who sends the message. A sender makes use of symbols, words, or graphic or visual aids to convey the message and produce the required response. For instance, a training manager conducting training for a new batch of employees is a sender wanting to pass on training messages to the learners. So the training manager is explaining to the receiver how to be effective as far as training as an aspect is concerned. What is important when he is training the employees? What kind of a video clip may help the employees to pick up the skills better and faster so that they can implement it? Sender may be an individual or a group or an organization. The views, the background, the approach, skills, competencies, and knowledge of the sender have an impact on the message. How is the sender explaining to the audience? Can the sender be empathizing? Is the sender looking into aspects that the audience is non-experienced and does not have that skill, knowledge, and competency which ideally he has? Is he effective in passing the message in an efficient manner so that the receiver can absorb and retain? The verbal and non-verbal symbols chosen are essential in ascertaining interpretation of the message by the recipient in the same terms as intended by the sender. So the wavelength between the sender and receiver has to be in balance. That means what the sender is intending to say, the receiver is absorbing and retaining in that manner. That is very crucial. It means that they both are at the same level. Since the sender initiates the process of communication, he or she has to be very clear about the purpose, goal, and objective of communication and the target audience or the receiver who is to receive the message, a key idea that the sender wants to communicate. It is very important for the sender to be enthusiastic and motivated to capture the attention of the audience. It is also important that the sender should or maybe start with an anecdote, a quote, which will probably create an impact on the audience. It is a sign that elicits the response of recipient. That means if I want to draw a favorable response from the receiver or the recipient, I as a sender need to take charge of the situation. I need to be expressive in terms of what I want to put forward, and I as an individual should have the ability to retain or to get the attention of the audience from the start to the end. It also means I create situations whereby I create a rapport with the audience and thus have the ability to make them interact and participate. Communication process begins with decoding about the message to be conveyed. It must be ensured that the main objective of the message is clear. When I say decoding, what do we mean by decoding? When we talk of decoding, it is the interpretation of information from received sensations. That means probably what we see, what we hear. When we talk of decoding, a lot can be based on our previous experiences. Sender's five functions account for half of the process of communication. The recipient or the decoder becomes aware that the message has arrived when he or she perceives it with the senses. That means you hear, you see, you feel, etc. The receiver, after receiving the message, has to interpret it. This phase in the process is termed decoding. Now, when you have to interpret a message, I assume that the way I'm putting it forward to you, you will interpret it in the same manner, more or less the same manner. No matter how different our experiences, knowledge, ideas, thoughts, views may differ, we yet assume that what is put forward to you and how you interpret it, there is a common point. The receiver translates symbols into ideas and interprets their message. The degree to which the decoder understands the message is dependent upon various factors such as knowledge of the recipient, the responsiveness to the message, and the reliance of the encoder on decoder. It definitely leads the receiver to think and arrange for some action if required. A response or feedback may also be initiated at this stage. So, in the simplest of words, the sender puts forward the message to the receiver. The receiver perceives it through his eyes in terms of what he observes, through ears, that means what you hear, and then, of course, you come to a conclusion in terms of what you have understood through the sender. Feedback. It is the main component of the communication process. It permits the sender to analyze the efficiency of the message. It helps the sender in confirming the correct interpretation. It helps the sender in confirming the correct interpretation of message by the decoder. Receivers are not just passive absorbers of the message, but they receive the message and respond to them. Feedback ideally is a response through the audience, through the receiver. Feedback may be favorable or non-favorable. That means how you react to response, whether you react to response favorably or non-favorably. A lot depends on what you feel, think, and understand as an individual. Very important when you talk of feedback. Feedback is also based to a great extent to your past experiences and your thought process. Sometimes a feedback could be a non-verbal smile, sigh, etc. Sometimes it is oral, as when you react to a colleague's ideas with questions or comments. Say probably you put forward a sarcastic statement. You are sarcastic because of a particular reason. You're sarcastic because probably your ideas are never accepted. So your statement in terms of your tone says it all. Feedback can be written like replying to an email. Feedback is your audience response. It enables you to evaluate the effectiveness of your message. If your audience does not understand what you mean, you can tell by the response and then refine your message accordingly. It is very easy for the sender or the speaker to understand what you as an audience are interpreting. That means through your facial expressions, body language, posture, gestures, and you as an individual, portray a lot about yourself to the speaker. When you portray a lot about yourself, it may be intentional as well as unintentional. So it is very easy for the speaker to understand your thought process. To improve communication, feedback should focus on a particular behavior. It should be specific rather than being general. So, what are you discussing at that juncture? Feedback in relation to what your discussion is. Cannot digress, cannot discuss something which is not required, only pertaining to the topic. Be impersonal. Feedback should be job related. The manager should not criticize anyone personally. Feedback is related to an event, not to an individual. That means I cannot be anti someone just because of what he or she has done. I need to resolve that issue based on what is done. But I cannot hold anything against anybody and be personal in terms of having a grudge or talk with that person always in a condescending or rude tone. Be goal-oriented. If you have something negative to say about the person, we should always direct it to the recipient's goal and not towards the recipient. So as we just discussed, towards the situation, not towards the person. Be well-timed. Feedback is effective when there is a short gap between the recipient's behavior and the receipt of that feedback. That means feedback has to be immediate. You cannot give feedback after a month. It may lose its value. So it has to be time-bound and thus immediate. Intrapersonal communication. We now discuss another aspect of effective communication, which is intrapersonal communication. Intrapersonal communication is language used or thought internal to the communicator. That means my thought processes, my ideas, views. But that is going on in my mind. The flow may be linked to the current event or may not be linked. For example, when you're at work, you may suddenly think of a problem which you're having at home. There is no link at that juncture, but the thought flows in that direction. Intrapersonal communication is the active internal involvement of the individual in symbolic processing of messages. That means within, what are my thoughts? What are the thoughts flowing? If something is disturbing you, say you find it extremely difficult to live up to timeline, deadlines. Say you find it extremely difficult to live up to deadlines. So it is stressing you out since you keep reminding yourself. Something keeps telling you that you are late in terms of completing this assignment. The individual becomes his or her own sender and receiver, providing feedback to him or herself in an ongoing internal process. So you're the sender, you're the receiver. It can be useful to envision intrapersonal communication occurring in the mind of the individual in a model which contains a sender, receiver, and a feedback loop. That means I'm the sender, I'm the receiver, and I give myself the feedback. It also means that certain thoughts which are there on my mind, I have to figure out if it is a crisis, how do I deal with it? And I have to give an explanation or solution to myself. Intrapersonal communication can be a general flow of thoughts which may or may not be linked to any particular event or events. Intrapersonal communication. We continue with that. Although successful communication is generally defined as being between two or more people or individuals, issues concerning the useful nature of communicating with oneself and problems concerning communication with non-sentient entities such as computers have made some argue that this definition is too narrow. I guess when we talk of intrapersonal communication, these are issues concerning ourselves. Now, why are they discussing problems concerning communication with non-sentient entities such as computers? If today I am ideally communicating to you via email, then it is interpersonal communication. But what we are trying to say out here, that as far as interpersonal communication is concerned, intra, the definition may be varied or vary as far as different people have different views on inter and intrapersonal communication. Intrapersonal communication can encompass daydreaming. I may have a lot of thoughts and I may just be on another planet. That means thoughts which are probably not really required or not meant to be there at that current juncture, not really effective, and ideally may even be an obstruction for my day-to-day work. Nocturnal dreaming, including and especially lucid dreaming. When I say I'm at a different level with my thoughts, I'm probably assuming I want to travel. So at all points of time, I'm thinking of my trip. I'm visualizing the place. So I'm not in the current situation. My thoughts in terms of traveling are no way connected to the work or the crisis which I'm dealing with in terms of my professional life, for example. Speaking aloud, talking to oneself, reading aloud, repeating what one hears, the additional activities of speaking and hearing. What one thinks, reads or hears may increase concentration and retention. It is said that if you talk to yourself, but if it is aloud, you may be able to be more receptive to it. We can say this is very individualistic. It depends. Some people, they prefer being by themselves, have some time and space where they can think over things. Some people feel if they want to talk to themselves, since they need their own views to resolve a problem, they may just talk aloud and think over it. It is absolutely individualistic. This is considered normal, and the extent to which it occurs varies from person to person. So as we said, individualistic. The time when there should be concern is when talking to oneself occurs outside of socially acceptable situations. For example, if you're walking on the road and talking to yourself, then this can become a problem for you as well as others. Because this means that you may not feel the need to talk to anybody else, but you can talk to yourself when you're by yourself, not when others are visible to you, which may make people around you feel that how come he or she is talking to himself or herself while crossing the road. So that is a sign of worry. Intrapersonal communication can encompass sense making, that means interpreting maps. You probably see a map, you realize that wherever there is rainfall shown, it means that there is heavy rain in that area. Text, sign, symbol, the arrow sign. So signs and symbols. Interpreting non-verbal communication, gestures, eye contact. Eye contact says a lot. Communication between body parts. My stomach is telling me it's time for lunch. So somewhere you get a signal or a message that it's time for lunch. Somewhere probably if you are standing and giving a presentation for a long time, so something tells you that you need to sit for a few minutes. Interpersonal communication is defined by communication scholars in numerous ways, though most definitions involve participants who are interdependent of one and other, have a shared history. There's something which can be communicated between two or more people. Communication channels are the medium chosen to convey the message from sender to receiver. Communication channels can be categorized into two main categories: direct and indirect channels of communication. Direct channels are those that are obvious and can be easily recognized by the receiver. They are also under direct control of the sender. In this category are the verbal and non-verbal channels of communication. Now, when I talk of interpersonal communication, direct and indirect channels. What do we mean by direct? Those that are obvious and can be recognized by the receiver. For example, you're working in an organization and you have your subordinate who is asking you questions in relation to some topic. So, there is communication between the two. Since you are at a top management and since he's your subordinate, you're expected to guide, you're expected to interact, and you're expected to give him information. When you talk of indirect, non-verbal can be an indirect form of communication because the person is perceiving you through your gestures. So, a lot depends maybe through your posture. Are you standing appropriately when you're giving a speech or are you slouching? So, a lot is perceived of you through communication. Interpersonal communication, speech communication. For example, you have a leader giving a speech. The leader would probably want to convey a lot through words and also motivate you. When you talk of interpersonal communication, unconscious communication. When you talk of unconscious communication, what does it mean? Something which probably may not be intentional. Something which may be put forward to you in a manner whereby it was not meant to actually be conveyed to you. When I say interpreting maps, text, signs, symbols, you see a map and you understand that wherever there is green dot, it means that the army is stationed in that area. So you're making your own interpretations. Summarizing, you probably reduce the words to explain that passage. When I talk of paraphrasing, what you have heard from another individual, you express that in your own words. You express that in a manner so that it's understood or easy to understand by the others. And listening is an activity which involves you to ideally focus and your brain will absorb and retain. That means your mind has the ability to take in. Interpersonal communication encompasses questioning. Questions can be asked. Doubts can be resolved. Initiating, declaring one's conversational intent and inviting consent from one's perspective. Declaring one's conversational intent and inviting consent from one's prospective conversation partner. What does it mean? It means that both the people have the ability to communicate, but there has to be someone who needs to initiate that conversation. Turn-taking, managing the flow of information back and forth between the partners in a conversation by alternating roles of speaker and listener. Once communication is initiated, there will be the speaker and the listener. They will take turns to ideally speak and listen. That means give information, take information and respond and interpret as to what the other is seeing. Having good interpersonal communication skills support processes as parenting. When we talk of parenting, extremely important to have a one-to-one chat with a child. Extremely important to build that trust rapport through effective communication, and extremely important to guide rather than being aggressive. Management, of course, as far as work is concerned, it is crucial for people to ideally have a good bonding with others in the organization, at the same time be assertive, at the same time seeing to it that work is done efficiently and coordination and planning is appropriate. This will again happen if there is enough interaction between people in the organization. Selling, counseling. When you talk of counseling, yes, effective communication, coaching, that means you are probably explaining in a manner which is very much appropriate for the people whom you're explaining. So if you're teaching students who have ideally never heard or discussed a particular topic or never studied the topic, then you are starting right from scratch. That means from the basics to the final outcome. Mentoring and co-mentoring, mentoring in groups, mentoring, that means probably teaching in a manner whereby you know that it is a skill to reach out to the people in the group and let them absorb what you explain. And conflict management, very important that when it's conflict management, you ideally have a conversation with the people, how to resolve it and come up with effective ways and means to solve a problem. Group communication, as we see, we will discuss now. When you talk of group communication, it refers to the nature of communication that occurs in groups between 3 and 12 individuals. Small group communication generally takes place in a context that mixes interpersonal communication interactions with social clustering. This is quite common when you are engaged in meetings with employees in your team, function, or with other managers in the organizations. First and foremost, when we talk of group communication, what is the purpose of the people to get together in the group? They have a common agenda. Next, when you talk of the people in the group, there may be someone who's more dominating than the others. Then we talk of the situation in the group, that they all work together in a manner whereby they have a common goal. Group communication is both a science and an art. It is an art to deal with people in your group. Groups ideally have people from varied walks of life. Maybe many of them have never connected before. Maybe many of them have different mindset, attitude, perception. So it is an art to deal with the people in your group. When you talk of group communication, you are also talking of interaction whereby it is a skill to discuss, explain, understand. Behavioral scientists and management theorists have attempted for years to discern patterns in group communication and prescribe methods of increasing communication effectiveness. How to have more bonding in a group? First and foremost, you have to be receptive to each and every person in a group. Take for example, the five of y'all in a group. Right now, four of y'all are seated together and discussing a topic. The moment the fifth person enters, you become stoic. When I say stoic, it means no expressions, no emotion on your face. Probably you feel that discomfort because of the arrival of the fifth person. Now this ideally can create a problem in the group. The bonding and cohesion will not be appropriate if even one of the people in the group cannot relate to another. It will be very evident if not through verbal, then through non-verbal communication. Public communication. It is the sending and receiving of messages on a large scale that impacts groups of people. To be effective, the messages must be clearly and accurately sent and received with full comprehension. Public communication is at the heart of our economy, society, and politics. Say, for example, when you have to speak or give a speech, when you talk of public communication, first and foremost, you should introduce yourself. Using visual aids can definitely help the message reach faster. For example, who is your target audience if you want to discuss about the politics of our country? Are the people interested in that field? So when you talk of public communication, it's reaching out to a heterogeneous population. When I say heterogeneous population, people with varied ideas, mindset, views. The purpose of effective public communication differs based on the intention of the message. What do I want to communicate to the audience? For example, a public relation representative might use mass media to repair a company's public image. See, if we talk of a syringe found in one of the cold drink cans, then it can be of great damage as far as the image of the company is concerned. How will the company rectify this problem? What will it do to ideally build its image? So all the aspects need to be looked into. In terms of chocolate, there were worms found in a chocolate. What was the next step they took? They immediately took one of the celebrities as its brand ambassador. So a lot can be done to actually improve the image of a company. A billboard's intention is to entice an audience to buy a product or service. Effective public communication is used to inform, educate, persuade, and inspire the audience. A hoarding, for example. Why is a hoarding used? It appeals to a larger audience. The placing of the hoardings at various or prime locations, because those hoardings are most visible by the people in that area. And it is reaching out to a large number of people at the same time. The importance of communication in an organization can thus be summarized as follows. It is considered to be the core of an organization, its structure, that means in terms of hierarchy. The scope and effectiveness depend entirely on communication techniques. How and what is communicated to people in day-to-day lives? Is there enough planning and coordination? Is there a hierarchical structure which ideally is effective as far as receiving and giving of messages is concerned? For managers, communication is crucial for their work. Managers spend over 90% of their time on communication, about 75% being face-to-face communication with peers, subordinates, superiors, customers. So face-to-face communication is of great importance. As far as possible, face-to-face communication is preferred. Communication promotes motivation by informing and clarifying with the employees about the task to be performed by them, the manner they are performing the task, and how to improve their performance if it is not up to the mark. Giving continuous feedback, expecting the employees to probably live up to the expectations of the people in the organization, complete work based on the expectations, giving more than 100%, all this is of great importance to the people who are working in the organization. Communication is a source of information to the organizational members for decision-making process, as it helps identifying and assessing alternative course of actions. It is very important that when we talk of decisions, when we talk of having options or choices for reaching a decision, we always have a backup. And this needs to be communicated effectively with the people in the organization. People in the organization should be in the loop as to what is happening, what is the next course of action that can be taken, what are the alternatives, and how can we come up with effective solutions. Communication also insists in controlling process. It helps in controlling organizational members' behavior in various ways. There are various levels of hierarchy and certain principles and guidelines that employees must follow in an organization. They must comply with organizational policies, perform their job role efficiently, and communicate any work problem and grievance to their superiors. So, free flow of communication, the ability to be able to communicate with the person at top management, what is your grievance, problem, or any situation whereby you feel it is difficult to cope up with. Thus, communication helps in controlling the function of management. Team building, motivation, free flow of communication are extremely essential when it comes to managing an organization. Effective communication plays a vital role in the success of every professional and personal relationship. The basic communication model consists of the five elements which we have discussed: the sender, receiver, message, channel, feedback. A message must or can come in different forms, such as oral or written, right? Or it can even be an advertisement. The last element of effective communication, feedback, very important. It describes the receiver's response or reaction to the sender's message. Feedback is crucial because, say, if I'm giving a speech, how I wind up with the speech and what I see through the faces of the audience will give me enough of an idea as to what the audience feels or thinks. The message travels from one point to another via a channel of communication. Thus, we can say that when we talk of communication, we've discussed Keith Davis's definition, passing of information and understanding. We've discussed the seven qualities, and to be a successful communicator, you need to digest eight characteristics. We have discussed all these. This is just to wind up with the chapter. What are the self-assessment questions? Main attributes of communication, factors that make communication effective, how does an environment affect communication? Very important. Describe the entire process of communication and the importance of feedback in effective communication. We have completed chapter 1. Thank you.